إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فأما بعد فقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد أما بعد My brothers and sisters, we continue with our series of lectures on the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And today we will speak about the right of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we honor his family, honoring the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first question to ask when we talk about honoring the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is who are the Ahlul Bayt? Who are the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? From all the sources of Islam, from the earliest times, from the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in to all the four Imams of Fiqh and all the Ulama ul-Haqq, the Ahlul Bayt, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are all his wives, all his children, the Banu Hashim, the Banu Abdul Muttalib, and their freed slaves. All of these are considered as the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore all of them are from the Ahlul Bayt. These are the people that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself considered to be members of his family. If I consider 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people as the members of my family, whoever they might be, but as the head of my family, I say that these 5 are members of my family, then does anyone else have the right to pick one of them and exclude 4 of them, to pick 2 of them and exclude 3 of them, and so on, and say that only these 2 are the members of the family of Yavar Beg, but the other 3 are not? Do they have this right? So when anyone tries to exclude some members of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from being the members of his family, if some people want to refer to certain members of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only as Ahlul Bayt and exclude others, then they are guilty of zulm on Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they are attributing to him something which he did not attribute. They are not counting those he called as his family members, and they have taken upon themselves this right. You can't take upon yourself a right, but they do. They've taken upon themselves this right to decide who is the family of Muhammad and who is not the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is very important for us to understand this, because you don't want to face Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment and he asks you who gave you the right to exclude Zainab and Umm Kulthum from the list of my daughters. Who gave you the right to say only Fatima is my daughter? Radiallahu anhu ajma'in. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? So please understand this very, very clear. This view that the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are all his wives, every single one of them, all his children, every single one of them, the Banu Hashim, all of the clan, the Banu Abdul Muttalib, all of the clan, and all their freed slaves. This is the view of the scholars of Islam, starting from the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain until the present day. All the ulama ul haq have had the same view. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed specifically out of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only one group. And what group is that? An-nisa'un nabi. The wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them as the people, as that group of this family who are unlike the rest of the ummah. Allah gave them a status over and above the status of the rest of the ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not address any one of them particularly. Allah did not exclude or omit any one of them out of all of them. He addressed them completely and totally, all of them as a group. He did not select anyone as the object of his address, and he did not exclude any of them from his address. That is our aqidah. The aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnah is that all the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the ummahatul mu'mineen. They are the mothers of the believers. They are our mothers. All of them are equal in status as the mothers of the believers, and we honor all of them. We honor all those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu honored. And we love all of those who Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ya nisa'un nabi lastunna ka ahadim minan nisa in ittaqaytunna fala taqda'na bil qawli fayatma'a alladhi fi qalbihi marad wa qulna qawlan ma'rufa. Allah said, O wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's addressing all of them. Ya nisa'un nabi. All the wives, all the women of the Nabi. You are not like any other women. If you have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you keep your duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then do not be soft in speech. Meaning, do not speak in a tone which can be misconstrued, lest the person you are speaking to has in his heart the disease of hypocrisy and evil, and lest that person be moved with this desire. But speak in an honorable, meaning a assertive manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Now the term Ahlul Bayt is used specifically for the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of them together. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the next ayat of Surah Al-Ahzab, and stay in your houses and do not display yourselves like that of the times of ignorance. And establish salah and give zakat and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes only to remove ar-rijs, which is evil deeds and sins, which means to forgive you. From you, O members of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Ahlul Bayt, and to purify you with a thorough purification. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala singled out the wives of his sallam. He honored them. He called them Al Ahlul Bayt, and he said that he has purified them. وَذْكُرْنَا مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّا مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لَطِيفًا خَبِيرًا. Allah said, and remember, O you members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family, remember the grace of your Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, that which is recited in your houses of the ayat of Allah. Allah is mentioning to them and saying to them that the Quran was revealed in your houses. Many of the ayat came in the houses of the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that which is recited in your houses of the ayat of Allah and al-hikmah, which is the sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which they were witness to day and night. Verily Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is most courteous and well acquainted with all things. Now we come to the hadith which is generally quoted and misconstrued. Ibn Jarir narrated that Safiya bint Shayba said, please note, who is the Rawi of this hadith? Safiya bint Shayba said, Aisha radiallahu anha said. Who is the Rawi of this hadith? Who is narrating this hadith? Who was witness to this particular incident? Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, our mother. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out one morning wearing a striped cloak of black camel hair. He was wearing a mishla of black camel hair. Al-Hasan radiallahu anhu came running to him and he wrapped him up in the cloak. Then Al-Husayn came and he wrapped him up in his cloak. Then Fatima radiallahu anha came and he wrapped her in the cloak with him. And then Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu came and he wrapped him in the cloak with him. And he said, he recited this ayat of Suratul Ahzab. And he said, Allah wishes only to remove a rits from you, Ya Ahlul Bayt, O members of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to purify you with a thorough purification. Now, what must be remembered when reading and quoting this hadith? First and foremost is, who is the narrator of this hadith? Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, who is maligned and cursed and so on and so forth. One of the many of the greatest symbols of the integrity and truthfulness of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha is that she narrated this hadith. What must be remembered also when reading this hadith or when someone quotes this hadith? To establish a special status for some of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over others, what they call panjatane pak, that is a Indian subcontinental terminology, the five pure ones. Who are supposed to be the five pure ones? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ali bin Abi Talib, Fatima radhiyallahu anha, Ali bin Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu, Fatima radhiyallahu anha, Hassan Hussein, five people radhiyallahu anhu majma'in. So this is a terminology created in the subcontinent, and this is a terminology which is used, panchatane bhag, the five pure ones. And this hadith is quoted to establish proof for this. Now please understand, that's why you have to read history. That is why you have to read seerah. You can't just take something out of context and quote it. What must be remembered is that at the time of this incident, Fatima radiallahu anha was the only daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who lived with him. All the other daughters had already died. And if one of the wives of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, if she was alive, she was in his house. She was not living with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His other daughters and the sons of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had all passed away. What Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did was a spontaneous act of love for those of his family who were with him. He is the grandfather, the two little grandchildren come running to him, he hugs them, he says, you are my family. Does it mean that now by this statement, he has thrown everyone else out of the family? Does it mean that? This hadith is not an act of selecting some of them and leaving out others. So this hadith is proof only that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved these four people, which is Ali, Fatima, Hassan, Hussein, radiallahu anhu ajma'in. It is not proof that he did not love others. It is not proved that all the others, all his daughters, all his sons, all his wives, all of them are excluded from the special position that is given to these five people. We do not deny the special position of these five people, which is equal to the special position of all the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So we are not denying that. We are not denying their special status. We are saying that yes, we accept the special status, and we accept it as being equal to the special status of all the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. It is not special within the family. The whole family is equal, and if there is anyone special within the family, then they are special who Allah called special, and they are the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not his children, not his grandchildren, not his son and sons-in-law. Allah addressed the wives of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So if anyone wants to claim a special status on the basis that the Quran was revealed for me, it is the wives of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who have the right to claim that special status, not anybody else. In the Quran, the only people from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly addressed are the mothers of the believers, the blessed wives of Rasulullah ﷺ. We honor all the Ahlul Bayt, but in the order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them. We do not honor some of them, and we do not revile any of them. We do not honor some of them more than others. The wives of Rasulullah ﷺ are our mothers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them this status. And so we honor them first, then others in the Ahlul Bayt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam equally, and he called them ummahatul mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, An-nabiyu awla bil mu'mineen min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more beloved, is more close, is closer to the believers than themselves. The Muslims, the believers, the mu'mineen, the sahaba love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over and above anyone and anything and anybody else, including themselves. And this is the witness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shahid about the love of the sahaba for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and his wives are there, are the believers' mothers. So in terms of honoring them, we honor them as our mothers. And this referred also to the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam having a status where it was prohibited for them, for anyone to marry one of the wives of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after he passed away, because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala called them the mothers of the believers. So therefore, marrying any of them was haram, became haram, because this is a special status for them. For a widow to be married in Islam is not only permitted, it is highly recommended. For somebody to marry a widow is not just permissible, it is highly recommended. Because Islam believes that you must support the people who are weak. So if there is this widow and she is needs support, then by all means please marry her. But as far as the widows of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are concerned, you cannot marry them. This is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said they are your mothers. And therefore we honor all of them, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. My brothers and sisters, the Sahaba always tried to be as close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as they could in every way. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as was Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Uthman bin Affan and Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu were both his sons-in-law. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu was his son-in-law twice. Rasulullah ﷺ had three sons and four daughters. His children in chronological order, the first of them was called Qasim ibn Muhammad, and that is why Abul Qasim is the kunya of Nabi ﷺ, and this kunya is not permissible for any Muslim to have. So if you have a son and you call him Qasim, and if you want to keep a kunya, or your kunya as Abul Qasim, this is not permissible. So this is the special status for Nabi ﷺ. So Qasim bin Muhammad, after that Zainab bint Muhammad, Ruqayya bint Muhammad, Umm Kulthum bint Muhammad, Abdullah ibn Muhammad, also known as Tahir and Tayyab, and Fatima bint Muhammad, and after her Ibrahim ibn Muhammad. These are the sons and daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In respect of the Sahaba in general and the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in particular, we consider all of them the first and foremost in status among the Muslims, because we have our deen thanks to them. The Sahaba are superior to every Muslim on the face of the earth who came after them until the day of judgment, because we owe this deen to them. We consider them all to be thiqa, which means to be completely reliable in all that they conveyed. We do not doubt them, we do not cast aspersions on them, and we definitely do not abuse them. We do not criticize them personally. You might be discussing a historical incident in which you might analyze it critically. That is not the same as criticizing a Sahabi. For example, you might speak about the action of Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu in making his son Yazid bin Muawiyah as a king. You might refer to this incident, you might analyze this incident critically, you might say, well, what if he had done this, what if he had not done this, what were the options available to him, what else could he have done. All of this is perfectly fine, alhamdulillah, but we do not criticize Muawiyah radiallahu anhu as saying that what he did was wrong, because he is a sahabi of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I'm giving you that specific incident because this is the most commonly known. There may be others. We do not talk about the Sahaba in a critical fashion, because this is not from the adab that is due to the Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why we consider anyone who abuses the Sahaba, especially who abuse the Khulafa-i Rashida or the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we consider such people to have exited Islam. The one who is criticizing the Sahaba, abusing them. I mean, criticizing is one level, abusing is a different level. Abusing is not criticizing. Criticizing may still have some logical explanation behind it, but abuse is abuse. So anyone who abuses the Sahaba, especially anyone who abuses the Khulafa-i Rashida, as far as the Aqeedah of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is the Muslims of this world, which is the people of Haqq, is that such people have exited Islam. Especially with respect to Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, anyone who abuses her has gone against the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. He has gone against the ayat of the Quran, not one ayah, he has gone against many ayat of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pronounced her to be free from all blame and truthful in her claim of chastity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed severe punishment of 80 lashes and of being permanently branded as a liar for anyone who cast aspersions on her. And therefore, anyone who criticizes, anyone who abuses Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha has also exited Islam. We must understand these are issues of aqeedah. These are issues which are extremely important for us to understand. Now, this does not mean that you go henceforth and you start pronouncing kufr and takfir on various people, or you go and fight with anybody. There is no need to fight with anyone. People are welcome to their beliefs. They can believe whatever they want, but we need to know what is the right belief, and we need to believe the right belief. That is important. The idea of explaining this to you is not to then advocate to you that you go and create some fitna somewhere. No, please do not do any such thing. There is no need. Let people believe whatever they want. There are people who do not even believe in Allah at all in the first place. So what? What will happen to them is a different issue. The issue of consequences of belief is a different matter. That they will see when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for us, the same thing applies. The issue of consequence of belief also applies to us. Therefore, as far as we are concerned, we must also be very clear in our minds what we believe, and we need to believe the right thing. Because if you do not believe the right thing, then you may well be out of Islam without understanding how that happened. Historical note, you will find that in the Indian subcontinent, even in the Jummah khutbah, in many places, it doesn't happen here because I don't do that. But many other places, you will find that specific mention in the Jummah khutbah is made of Ali, Fatima, Hassan, Hussein, radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Nobody else. Have you ever heard in the Jummah khutbah Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa being mentioned? Have you ever heard in the Jummah khutbah Khadijatul Kubra being mentioned, radiallahu anhu? Have you ever heard the other daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umm Kulthum or Zainab or anybody being mentioned? Have you ever asked why? You should ask why. Go and ask the Khatib, how is it that you mention only three people or four people, whereas the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consisted of all of these other people? How come you don't mention them? This is history. That's why I read history. When Humayun was kicked out of India, he took refuge in Iran. He gathered an army from there and he came back into India. The king of Iran, who was from the Safavid dynasty, he gave him an army, he funded him. In today's terms, we are talking about billions of dollars worth of funding. And he said, I have a condition. And the condition is, you must take 200 of my ulama with you. And you must give them permission to propagate our brand of Islam, which is Shia Islam. Now obviously, Humayun's neck was in the noose. So he agreed. And they came. And that was the beginning of Shia Islam in Islam, in India. The time of Humayun, when he came back and he conquered and he got the throne of Delhi and Agra. As I said, we have no quarrel with anybody. We have no quarrel with the Shia. We have no quarrel with anyone. But we must understand what is our belief. The effect of Shia Islam was that it also came into Sunni Islam. So in the khutbah, we mention the same people which the Shia called Panjatane Pak. Why? Seriously ask this question. Blind following is not for Muslims. We are supposed to follow with reason, with proof, with evidence. I've got no problem if somebody wants to mention Fatima, Ali, Hassan, Hussein, radiallahu anhu ajma'in in one khutbah, and the next khutbah is mentioning the other wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's mentioning the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's mentioning the sons of Abdullah, no problem, please go ahead. That is not the purpose of the khutbah. I mean, you don't want to do a whole genealogy on the khutbah. There's no need. But I'm saying if somebody wants to do that, alhamdulillah, no problem, khalas, he's proving to the world and to himself that he is honoring everyone equally, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, no quarrel with that. But if you are going to make one khutbah in which only these people are mentioned always, then one must ask a question and say, what is the origin of this? Where did you get this from? Why do you do that? My brothers and sisters, please understand. Love for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, honoring Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love for his family, honoring his family is not a matter of personal discretion. It's not a matter left to you to say, if you feel like doing that, do it. If you don't feel like doing that, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It is a matter of the aqidah of the Muslim. The one who does not love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than he loves anyone and anything else is not only not a Muslim, but he is promised the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not my fatwa, go read the ayat of Surah At-Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it very clearly in my last khutbah. I quoted the ayat. I know the ayat, I remember the ayat. I don't want to extend my khutbah now, so I'm not going to quote it again. See the last khutbah. It's not a matter, it's not to your discretion. This is part of the haq of risala. This is part of the adab that is due to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Your choice and my choice is, do you want to remain in Islam or leave? If you want to leave, go ahead, do what you want. If you want to remain in Islam, you have to love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than you love yourself and anybody else. And you have to honor him more than you honor anybody else. And you have to love his family and honor them more than you honor anybody else. This is the usul. This is the principle. This is the boundary of the Sharia of Islam. So it's very important, therefore, to understand our aqidah and to believe with knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu to be pleased with all of you and never to be displeased, and to help you and me and all of us to understand this beautiful deen correctly and accurately, and to practice it. The difference between us and the Sahaba, among the million other differences, is that when they heard something, they understood it, they immediately practiced it. We hear it, we understand it, and we keep it. That is the difference. And that is why in their lives, they saw the barakah, they saw the noor, they saw the beauty, they saw the power, the glory, and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while we have all of that as intellectual concepts in our minds. That is what has to change. Bring it down into your life. Then you will find, inshallah al-musta'an, that the deen has meaning for us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of amal, not people only of speech. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with all of you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to give shifa kamila wa ajila, to give you complete and total cure for any illnesses. Anyone who is ill, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure them by His mercy and grace and His power. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free anyone who is tied up in debt from the debt. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to stay on the halal and to save us from the haram. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك واغننا بفضلك عمن سواك ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.